You're very welcome back to the programme. Good morning, if you've just tuned in. Greg, every hospital north or south have to wait with their mental health. I sat personally in ED for my mental health for too many hours. So sad, thanks. And I'm glad, hopefully, that you got eventually the care that you needed. And it's lovely to hear from you. I've been to casualty a few times with my daughter presenting as suicidal, and I would never recommend that route to anyone. The staff always made us feel like we were worthless and looking down their noses at us, then having to wait between 4 to 7 hours to see a psychiatrist. Thank God she's doing much better now, and I'm really pleased for you. I'm sure it's an awful strain on her, but also caring mums and dads as well. So thankfully she's in a better place. I'm glad to hear that. There's no proper help with depression, says another listener, or mental health issues in this county. I know a family member attended the adult mental health, and every time they go, it's a new doctor they meet, and all they do is check their file and maybe up their medication, and they feel hopeless at this stage. It's a disgrace. A caller says, I phoned Pieta House 5 times one night, and to this day, years later, I still haven't heard from them. I presume at this point you won't. You do hear stories, people's experiences. Thank you for that. Greg, hopefully this will be introduced in Ireland. We're in bad need of it. The Welsh Ambulance Service is trialling a new mental health response team, which attends 999 calls from people experiencing a mental health crisis. Okay, it's something we should have, shouldn't we? Right, okay. By the way, it was off the back of just one comment. We've had quite a few people texting in their insurance wins. Home insurance, house insurance, car insurance, going for renewals, not being sort of, you know, brand loyal and shopping around and making some savings, which is great. So if you've any insurance renewal wins, get them into us. We'd love to hear those as well. 086 60 25,000. Maybe you've beat the system, made a saving, despite many others seeing increases, but maybe it's worked for you. Let me know. 086 60 25,000, or give us a call on 074 91 25,000. Right, now we are joined on the programme by Dr. Orla Flynn, President of the ATU. Good morning, Dr. Flynn. Thank you very much for your time.
Morning, Greg. Glad to be with you.
Right, so we heard on the news there that unfortunately there is going to be a delay in new veterinary courses being made available. Regrettable, isn't it? What is the cause of the delay?
I suppose I was a bit surprised to hear it on the news earlier today, because this is a decision that we had made and announced some time ago. The reason, and again, we're in the middle of our validation process for the new programme at the moment, so we really were getting ourselves ready to have had an intake in September of this year. But we are building specialist facilities in Letterkenny, and it just takes a bit of time to make sure that we get the planning process right, that we get our designs right, and that we go through all of the necessary steps around public building. And just to be sure that we have that work finished in time for when the students will need it, we felt that it would take the risk, would reduce the risk considerably by moving the start date out to 2026. So effectively, we're talking about building a veterinary hospital as part of the facilities. When the students reach third year, they will need that facility, and we just needed to make sure that it would be ready in time for that.
Yeah, and I suppose the reasons it made the news today is because it was referenced by the Higher Education Minister, James Lawless. He was pointing out that he had been informed that the universities involved needed time. So I suppose that's why it sort of became public knowledge today. It's important to get it right. It's big. It'll be around for an awful long time. So whilst a deferral is regrettable, you want to get it right, I'm sure, as you've been outlining.
Yeah, we absolutely do. And, you know, we're putting together a really great team. And as I said, the team are in the middle of the validation process at the moment. And I suppose from our point of view, we had made our submission back in autumn of 2022. You know, so the decision wasn't announced until last September, October, around the time of the ploughing last autumn. So that was 2024. So at that point, you know, that was the earliest really we commenced the planning for the facilities, and we're making great progress on that. But again, it is going to be a fantastic facility for students everywhere, really. Mm. But we're delighted it's going to be in our near our Letterkenny campus, and we're looking forward to having our intake. We will be having this in the CAO ready for, you know, for next February's February CAO. So it will be 2026. And as I said, we're looking forward to that. We didn't want the students to be arriving at third year needing facilities for, the very specialist facilities, and then us not being ready for that. So that's the reason for it. And we have communicated that to all the career guidance teachers some time ago now. I think it's a couple of months ago since we've communicated that. So it is public knowledge for some time now.
Yeah. Are all factors within your control, or could there be any unforeseen delays with the planning process, for an example?
Oh, I couldn't possibly comment on that. I mean, we're going to be doing our best to control all the factors that we can control. And that means being very thorough in our design process, making sure that we comply with all of the public requirements and the public controls, public sector controls. And we'll be working very closely with the council. And we already are actually working closely with the council just to make sure that that anything that we can control, is in hand. But, you know, you can never say for sure that there won't be some obstacle or some barrier. But, and we'll be doing our best to deal with anything that arises. But the best way, I think, that you can manage those things is to really be thorough and careful in what you can control.
Yeah, this is really positive news and a step in the right direction. You have in the past highlighted issues that need to be addressed in the Northwest in terms of funding for students and what have you. Are we making any inroads on wider issues, Dr. Flynn, notwithstanding the excellent news of these veterinary courses?
Yeah, and I would in the past have highlighted underinvestment in general in the northern and western region, right across higher education, all the campuses in the northern and western region in general over the last 10 years. So we have a number of developments. We have a public-private partnership building also due to start in Letterkenny fairly soon. We'll have the veterinary developments, and we've been growing our apprenticeship activities in both Letterkenny and Killybegs. We are developing and hoping to offer a new pharmacy program in Sligo, and we have a new public-private partnership building coming underway in Galway. So, you know, all of that together is really starting to address the underinvestment in capital, in particular in higher education. Obviously, there's more that we'd like to see. We'd like to see our investment in research facilities. We'd like to see ourselves given the permission and approval to be able to appoint professors. And then there's other factors across the region that impact us and our ability to serve the needs of the region, including infrastructure deficits like rail and road. But those are really long-term plans. I know some of them will be addressed through the national planning framework, but we'd like to see that accelerated, of course, but we're beginning to see some progress, I think, in the northern and western region.
What is the stumbling block in terms of being approved to appoint professors? Because it is there is a line above which there aren't any. Could you give us lay people an understanding as to the significance of that and what may be the blockage there?
Well, I suppose all universities globally have the power to appoint professors, and the grade of professor or the title of professor is widely understood in higher education terms. Typically, they are seen as academic leaders. Typically, they would have a very strong research profile. But because the technological universities have evolved from what was originally the regional technical colleges and then becoming the institutes of technology, any new grades really require the approval of our minister and obviously conversations with other government partners, including Department of Public Expenditure and Reform. you know, even though the legislation was enacted in 2018, we still don't have the authority to appoint professors at an appropriate grade. We're hopeful that we will see this changing in the coming year, and I'm hopeful in the coming months that we will see this. And we've been working very closely, speaking with the unions and speaking with the government departments in relation to this. It would make a big difference for ATU in particular, because I've often spoken about that Galway-Dublin line and what's north of that. You know, but in terms of our overseas and international dealings, in terms of our ability, you know, to lead on collaborations with industry, particularly in that recent space with industry, I think given the way the world is going, that's going to be critically important for industry in the northern and western region.
And finally, obviously, given the new status new courses and popularity, we're seeing more and more students choosing Letterkenny and elsewhere, but Letterkenny I'm going to focus on. What is the situation in terms of the provision of extra student accommodation provided, you know, through the ATU itself?
Well, again, that's another one. If you were to ask me, probably the two biggest issues facing us at the moment would be the professors, but also our inability to develop student accommodation. We're not permitted to borrow, even though the legislation does provide for a borrowing framework, but that has not been developed yet. And back in March 2024, so over a year ago, we were asked to make submissions in relation to student accommodation and potential options across all of our campuses, including Letterkenny. And so we're still waiting for some development on that. We had been obviously hoping for some kind of an announcement on that sooner. But there is a working group nationally looking at that, so kind of looking at standardized designs, but more importantly, looking at some kind of a borrowing framework or some kind of a framework that would allow us perhaps to work with private developers in a PPP type model, perhaps, or else just allowing us to borrow to build and develop student accommodation on land that we might already own, or in collaboration with other owners. For us, the ability to provide student accommodation is huge in the region. It would certainly keep more students in the region. It would make our region more attractive for students elsewhere in the country. But it would also make us a bit more attractive for international students. You know, we have a very strong international student population in Letterkenny, particularly quite a few Indian students doing various master's programs, a lot of them in the tech space. And, you know, accommodation is such a challenge right across Ireland. And, you know, taking students out of the kind of home rental market should ease other pressures as well. You know, we know housing is a massive issue for you know, first time buyers, for companies seeking to recruit staff. The housing challenge is certainly with us right across the country.
Okay, thanks for that update, because I had to put that question to Simon Harris, I believe it was Simon Harris, and you would have got the impression that it was a done deal, so to speak. So interesting to get an upside. The wheels can tend to move slowly, but hopefully they're greased and things will move a little bit quicker going forward. Thank you for speaking to me. Sorry, Orla, was there something else you wished to say?
No, I was just going to say, the wheels sometimes tend to turn very slowly, but then all of a sudden you could get a rush of speed and things can move on quite well, you know, at times. And sometimes you just think there's nothing happening, but actually there's probably quite a lot happening behind the scenes. I know we have representatives on those national working groups, and, you know, a lot of preparation and quiet, painstaking work is being done behind the scenes. So I'm hopeful that we'll get some movement on that quite soon.
Fingers
crossed.
Thanks
a million for raising that issue.
Thank you very much indeed. President of ATU, Dr. Orla Flynn there. My wife's insurance renewal came through for €860. Wowzers. Went back to the initial insurer and asked for the best price. They came back with €765, so they dropped it £95. With no changes. We shopped around thereafter and got it down to 650. So €210 better in my pocket by making a few phone calls and sitting for half an hour doing online quotes. Definitely recommend shopping around and not accepting the renewal price. Well done to you. Hi, Greg. My car insurance went up to by €90 from last year. Shopped around and got it cheaper by, wait till you hear it, £350. Right, so their car insurance, their current insurer, bumped up their insurance for £90. This is when their payouts are much lower and the profits are up. So they're taking the P, right? But they shopped around, saved £350 in their pocket. That's a little break even. All right, good news. Keep your insurance wins coming in, please. We like to hear that. Just before the break, Emma-Louise O'Flanagan is in Termon and is 39 today. Well done. Still in your 30s, Emma-Louise, from Mum, Dad, Brother Thomas and sisters Marie and Christine. Actually, before the break, I'm going to go straight to Lisa. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing good. Now, what's your view on religion not being taught in schools? The INTO aren't keen on it. Their members aren't keen on it. They want the sacraments taught outside the school or by parents. And there also, there seems to be a movement to sort of, you know, get the religious control out of schools. What say you, Lisa?
Yeah, I don't think it's very fair. I think when that, you know, within our schools, we have the religious education there for the benefit of the children and what everything stands for is within your religion. But I think if, you know, why take that out and put it on the emphasis of parents? That some parents might not understand it, some parents might not teach the right way, some parents might not, you know, have different beliefs in the way they teach, whatever. But why can't all religion be taught in the school rather than saying, oh, we have to take out the Catholic religion or whatever, you know? It could easily be incorporated in the religious side of it, could all be incorporated in together.
Well, also the other thing too about removing sort of, you know, patronage, isn't it? Church patronage, is that what they call it from schools? I don't understand that, especially if one of the reasons is that our population is becoming more diverse. Like if I decided to move to, I don't know, a country where there's another religion. I can't think of one off the top of my head. I wouldn't expect...
Some place like Dubai.
Yeah, Dubai. Good example. I wouldn't expect them to remove their religion from the school. I would sort of want to integrate, understand their religion. I can still practice my own, right? But to have an understanding of their religion so I could respect their religion. You know, they shouldn't be competing things. I don't understand why we need to throw the baby out with the bathwater here. Why take religion out of schools because we're getting more diverse? I actually don't think it's positive. I think that's actually counterintuitive in terms of a more integrated society.
Yes, very much so. Very much so. If everybody understood all the different religions and things that were out there, they possibly might understand it a lot better and there might be less hatred towards people for the religion they believe in, because people don't understand certain religions, so they just assume that, you know, oh, we don't want to hear this religion, we don't want to hear, where if it's all incorporated in one, then everybody's learning.
Well, I think an awful lot of problems arise from a lack of understanding between groups and cultural clashes. Yes. Cultural clashes, yeah. Right? And I don't mean physical clashes. I think the more everybody is educated onto practices in this country, religious, social, whatever, the more integration I think there is for people into the status quo here, I think the more positive it is for a country. And as I say, I'm not mean that in anti anything. I just think sometimes we make decisions thinking we're doing the right thing. And I wonder, Lisa, are we?
Well, that's what I mean. No, it wouldn't be doing the right thing, because you'd be taking something that's been around for hundreds of years. And you're taken out because, what, other people don't believe in it?
Mm. Because,
you know, it wouldn't be fair.
Like, Ireland is a Christian country, and other countries are proud of stuff like that. I don't know if it's because of the English or whatever it might be, that we aren't proud of our sometimes. We struggle to talk about our history, right? You know, I think we do.
Yeah.
And our culture and our heritage, because we think we're putting people down, which we're not. Other countries don't seem to have that problem. But I would like my children to be educated in their faith and also get an understanding of their friends' faith, if that faith happens to be different, or no faith. And school is a great place for that, potentially.
Yeah, very much so. It's the place where they learn the most. you know, they'll learn from having the experience of having their faith there and what their faith, what their understanding of it is, and also their friends. Mm. Their friends might be totally different. They might, you know, their faith might be totally different. So understand their faith as well as them understanding ours. Like, as you said, Greg, we wouldn't go into another country and say, we don't like your religion, we want it out.
Yeah, or
we would say,
your teachings offend me. You would go, right, that's your belief. Here's what I believe. We can have competing beliefs, or in fact, we can learn how our beliefs align.
We don't have to be one or the other. Yeah.
And it's interesting to hear the views of teachers, right, because they're important, but I'd love to know the views of the population in this country, what they would think of what we're talking about. Obviously, Lisa, I know you would be opposed to it being removed from schools, but I think it's important that the public are heard as well, not just teachers, who are very important, of course.
Yeah, very much so, because I think it's kind of swept under the carpet. You know, it's just coming on the news very under. It's like, oh, we're going to be doing this, or this is what's thought, or this is what... You know, and parents really don't have a say in things like that, and I think they should. I think it's very important.
I'm not conflating issues, but, you know, like, if you see, for instance, what happened in Britain and the whole conversation that's been going on about women, right, for the last God knows how long, and then you have one Supreme Court judgment, and then all of a sudden every politician can speak about what a woman is or how they understand it. Like, that's how quickly things can change. And I think it's really just important that whatever we do in whatever issue in life is that we take a step back. We don't be afraid to step on toes. We have an adult, open conversation and go with the majority view on things, whatever the issue might be.
That's the most important thing. I think people just take it upon themselves to say, oh, we're going to do this, rather than taking a step back and thinking, how's this going to affect people?
Exactly. And especially,
how's it going to be with them? You know,
we have a lot of control, but also, you know, when big decisions are made in how and what is taught in schools, we really need, parents need more consultation, because we're forming opinions and we're forming attitudes. And, you know, we have to make sure we're getting everything right, I think, for our kids.
Very much so, yeah. Yeah, I totally agree.
All right, Lisa, lovely chatting to you.
Brilliant, Greg. Thanks a million.
Take care of yourself. Thanks for coming on. I do appreciate it. That's Lisa there, 086 60 25,000. What's your views? I'll do a few more happy birthdays, if that's okay, before we take that half 10 break. Happy birthday to Cahill Morrison from Cahill, another Cahill, unless you're wishing yourself a happy birthday, Cahill. There's no shame in that game, but I believe there are two Cahills involved in this situation. So happy birthday, Cahill Morrison, from Cahill, Eugene, Rebecca and Martina. Happy birthday to the twins, Janice McGlynn, Castle Finn, and Jackie Holmes, Maville. Have a great day from all of the family. Did you see the twins on? Did you see the twins on the news? Two identical twin women. It's really quite an interesting video, actually. I mean, the subject matter they're talking about might be somewhat serious, but they speak. I might play the clip out. I don't think there's any bad language or what have you. They literally speak for each other. They two of them say sentences. I might actually see if we can play that out. But anyway, sorry. I don't know if Janice and Jackie are the same. Maybe they are. Maybe you can live inside each other's heads. I don't know. But happy birthday to the twins, Janice McGlynn, Castle Finn, and Jackie Holmes, Maville. Have a great day from all of the family and all of us here at Highland. And another one for Janice, and Jackie. From all the family as well. That's actually a duplication. But you know what? It's kind of an interesting coincidence that I accidentally got the same request in twice for twins. There you go. It is, of course, the 9 till noon show. This was 1 year ago today.
So we're here at Letterkenny Community Centre to do our big surprise for Monica Greer, who was nominated for one of the Community Hero Awards for 2024. So she's actually in the middle of doing a class, so in the next couple of minutes we're actually going to go in and give her the biggest surprise of her life with a €1,000 cheque. Come and join me now. Hello, is this Monica? Monica, how are you? Sean Quinn here from Highland Radio. How are you? Now, why am I here standing in front of you, Monica? You have been nominated and you'll be successful and you're a winner of the Highland Radio Community Hero Awards for 2024. And here's your daughter here. She's got a lovely cheque for €1,000. And you're so well deserving of it.
Okay. And what have you done for those charities?
I would have all the Christmas hamper out every Christmas, and
every year different businesses around the town give me prizes, and I do raffles, and all the money is given to the charity.
Right, who's this behind me, I wonder?
Congratulations.
That wonderful lady just being here? Presented a cheque.
Rose Donahue,
hello,
I nominate
Rose,
her.
How are you? So we've kind of got you a little bit. So we have, because you weren't shortlisted. You're actually one of our winners, one of our five winners, been recognised.
She's never speechless.
A community hero. Why is she a community hero? Tell us.
Margaret never looks for anything. She does this, as the word, selflessly every year. And she does more than this. I could have written another three pages about her easily.
Yeah. Hello there.
Oh,
hello.
Good.
Is this Seamus, is it?
This is me.
Seamus McLaughlin, do you know this guy
here?
Do you
have a TV license?
Boy, Tom.
Well, the reason we're here today is Tom actually sent us a lovely letter to Highland Radio. And what we've been doing, we have a Community Hero Awards for 2024. And he wrote a lovely letter about you. And do you know what? You're one of our community heroes, and we're here today to just congratulate you. And if you let us in for a couple of minutes, Tom might tell us why you did what he did.
I nominated him because he really took me under his wing. Even cut his time between himself and his wife, you know, to facilitate me, mm-hmm. go to Sligo, Galway, Letterkenny, you mentioned it, he was there.
I suppose it's also fair to say that because of what Seamus does, it just makes your life so much easier.
What? I wouldn't be here without him.
Yeah.
I really wouldn't be here without him.
So that was the Community Hero 2024. We are now in 2025, and it's back again, Sean. Welcome into studio there. Sean Quinn, head of sales here. And we're inviting people who know someone who goes beyond the call of duty, helps in their community, cares, volunteers, and goes the extra mile for neighbours and friends. We want to hear about them.
Yeah, and just, do you know what, Greg? The last clip there where he says that I wouldn't be here without him, that to me summed up that whole week last year that we did. We got a great response. And what we're looking for again this year is, who is that person who goes beyond, but above and beyond, who's never recognised, that we'd like to recognise them. We'd like to do what we did for Monica, for Margaret and for Seamus last year, who were well-deserving winners of our community heroes. Mm. So, and it's, we don't need a book story on it. We just need a paragraph about why them, why are they important to you? What do they do within your community? Why do they make a difference? And why do they deserve to be recognised? And we're going to give three lucky people this year €1,000 for
doing
what
they do. Can I say something that's a little bit controversial?
Go on.
I think almost the €1,000 is fantastic, but it's by the by. Because the emotions from people, and if you were watching the show, you would have seen that video, and it's available on our socials, and if not, we'll repost it, right, so it's easy found. The shock and emotion was them being recognised. The €1,000 was additional, but that €1,000 wasn't in the picture when people were so moved by being recognised. These are incredibly humble people that do so much for other people. They're not there in it for the thanks, but you can see clearly it's the recognition that takes them aback. And we all know people that deserve that. And the gravy, right, of course, or the ice cream, is the €1,000 as well. But do you get where I'm coming from
You're 1,000,000% correct, because we we'd like to do this again this year, is we'd like to surprise people if we can do it. And the check wasn't the surprise. It was the recognition. It was the person that had nominated them being beside them to say why they'd nominated them. You're 100% correct, Greg. It was such a very special couple of days that we did going out filming and getting to know these people. And Seamus was very heartwarming, because what he did for his neighbour was quite amazing. And it was the trips to Sligo. And they became best friends because of it, because they spent more time together.
I want his neighbour's cardigan. It's absolutely stunning. A beautiful woolen cardigan.
Yeah. I would say it was just a very touching moment. Yeah. So we're now reaching out to say, again, thanks to one of our listeners who remains anonymous and has donated the prizes. We want to go out and we want to look for this year's community heroes. So who are they across the county? Who's that person that it may have been today that has done a good deed? It may be somebody that comes to see you every day. It may be somebody that takes you to the bingo or it may be somebody that helps within the community centres. We're opening up to say, who are they? Mm. Please tell us.
Well, you know, we all know them. But that's the significant thing here. We all know them, and they're so important, and they're so unassuming, and they just go about their everyday business. And often I find those with the greatest responsibility seem to find the time to help others.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I'm not saying exclusively, but the people, you know, I'm not going to, but I could list four, five, six people who are five times as busy as I am. And we all say we're flat out, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And yet, in their day, they find time to help a neighbour, to help out in the community, to, you know, whatever it might be. And it's not just for older people, it can be young people or whatever, across all different types of sectors. So the only thing we're asking is not for you to go out and hunt these people, because you know exactly who they are, right? We're just asking you to give us their names, a little bit about them, and email hero@highlandradio.com or post your nominations to Highland Radio Mountaintop Letterkenny Donegal. The one thing we know, and more so in this county, I think, than any county, is they're there. Just let us know who they are. Let us know who deserves it.
Yeah, and just, you know, a simple reason why. Because that does make a difference. You know, if you can tell us why and what they do. Like Tom's letter last year, he wrote us a letter about Seamus, and it blew me away because it was in his own handwriting. He told his own story about what Seamus had done to give up his time. And he went out to the post office himself and he posted it. I rang him to have a conversation with him, and I was just blown away by how much it meant to him that Seamus was recognised, because he felt that Seamus kept him alive because of what he did on a daily basis. So
and feeling alive is not necessarily always physical.
No.
It's about connections.
Absolutely.
It's about not feeling isolated. It's about feeling part of something. And that's clearly what that gentleman has done for his neighbour, which is invaluable.
Yep.
So, as I say, you know who these people are. They're scattered from every corner and in between of our beautiful region. We are keeping this open until May 5th. And then we'll announce the winners subsequently. And it's always nice to sort of do a bit of a surprise on it as well. So if that suits, fine. Get your details of the person. As Sean quite rightly pointed out, we're not looking for you to be a poet laureate here. Just in your own words, as simple as you like, explain why this person is so important and what they contribute. And it allows us then to... I mean, this is one of those ones, if you had €100,000, you could give it to 100 people.
You could.
We do have to have a number, and it's 3.
Yeah.
But I think even just being nominated is a fantastic recognition in all of these things. So May 5th, it's not that far around.
No, it's
around the corner.
It is, and it's. Do you know what? It's, if I remember last year, we had a panel, and it was really difficult. So we probably will have to shortlist. So what I would ask, to make sure that when you send in your nomination, whether it's in writing or via email, please put your phone number on it.
Yeah.
Because we will probably need to talk to you to get a bigger, you know, more in depth into
exactly.
The person.
And you might be better at explaining the situation on the phone. Just
exactly.
Throw the hook out with the bait. We'll catch and give you a call. So your name, your contact details, and the details of the person that you're nominating, your local hero, your community hero, and email it into us at hero@highlandradio.com. Last year it was by post, which is perfectly fine as well. Post your nomination to Highland Radio Mountaintop Letterkenny, County Donegal, and get your entries in by Monday the 5th of May. And there's more info on highlandradio.com, I believe.
Yeah, it's live now. It's live, yeah.
Pretty simple, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is there an online form? No, it's just
No, it's more...
Okay, the info. That's perfectly
exactly.
fine. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
So an email is an online form anyway. Okay.
The online form it can be restrictive as well. So I think this is more about your feelings about the
I'm
person.
I'm never really satisfied filling something out in a website goes anywhere. Not ours, right? But you know, sometimes when you're making an inquiry to a business and you fill that form... I feel like I've got more control over an email. I sometimes press button and they go, do they just refresh the page?
The submit button. Did I hit it? Did I not hit it?
Did it go?
Yeah.
Okay. Brilliant stuff. All right. It's simple as that. You know who your community heroes are. Don't be restricted by the examples we've given, because we want you to sort of expand this as well. Give us people that that you class as community heroes that don't necessarily fall into the categories we've mentioned so far. We're not being prescriptive. It's up to you. Hero@highlandradio.com. your name and a contact number so we can check some deets with you, the name of the person, the hero which you wish to nominate, a little bit about them. You can write as much about them as you like, but we don't want people who maybe go, oh, I can't really explain it correctly, to be excluded. Get it into us, no bother at all. Anything else? That's it, isn't it, Sean?
That's it, yeah. Yep.
Pretty simple. Okay. Yep. May 5th, folks, get on it. Thank you very much indeed. See you, Sean.
Thanks, Craig.
Bye. I can be a bit of a lightning rod for frustration, and I don't mind that at all. But the latest batch of lightning came over traffic congestion in Letterkenny, and there was gridlock. Now, I put this down to the post-Easter exodus. Often what we see on the Tuesday after Easter, particularly, is Letterkenny get locked up because for many places around Donegal, how do you get home if you've come visiting? Well, you have to go through Letterkenny, not exclusively, but for the majority. Was it down to that mass exodus? Christy Galligan, former Garda sergeant, of course, who's been talking about the traffic situation in Letterkenny.
Hello, good morning, Greg. Yeah, it was, I'm sure, extremely frustrating for anybody, any commuter on the roads to Letterkenny yesterday. And it wasn't just down to the Easter bank holiday weekend or anything else for that matter. I mean, that would be added to it, but there was seemingly a breakdown in relation to our electrical system fault in relation to a traffic light system in Letterkenny out by the Polestar roundabout on that direction, and the ESB and the council were involved. Now, traffic gridlock, as we know, and we've talked about it many times over the last period, has been a major issue here and around Letterkenny, and it's deeply frustrating for commuters and people come into this town. Like, I mean, it's just very frustrating. And traffic was all the way back to the golf course road yesterday and up around Meadow Hill, up Kernamugga. I mean, it was just madness. When I contacted the council, and I got a very nice girl in the council, but I asked what had happened, and she informed me what did occur. And then I asked what measures were in place to alleviate or control traffic flows that were building up around town, and there was nothing put in place. There was no backup system or backup plan put in place. I then rang the local Garda station here. I spoke to a member of the force in Letterkenny station and asked what, if any, backup plans were in place if the council had nothing in place, and they informed me they had nobody available. Cars were tied up. There was no members of the Garda Síochána available to do traffic control in any of these areas where there was gridlock. And that's the frustrating part. They put in traffic lights in this town. What they didn't do was put in cameras or proper systems in place where you have a proper traffic control centre hub. You know, we need a traffic control centre hub where we have people that are in place that can control the flow of traffic in and around the Letterkenny. Because we don't have the relief roads, they're not in place. We need to have some better system on how to control and manage traffic systems. And I've looked at numerous different websites in relation to London, the World Economic Forum, all of those, to see what is available. And one of the ones that came up was the Barcelona Urban Lab Dynamic Traffic Forecasting. Now, it might seem a mouthful, but it was about parking management and traffic control cameras in around the Barcelona area. And that's a big city. We're only a large town, but we're a town of 25,000 people, and that swells during the summertime. And they were looking at putting in sensors in different areas around the town, and those analytics in real time show what are the traffic flows in and around those areas. And the traffic control cameras are connected by fibre optics to those transport authorities, to the transport authority itself, to monitor the traffic in real time. And then providing the control centre means to increase or reduce the frequency of green lights according to those traffic conditions. And that's something we need here. Mm-hmm. We need a traffic control system or a hub everything is fed in.
I get where you're coming from, Christy, yeah. But I don't think the infrastructure lends itself to be able to accommodate the traffic with signal changes. I mean, let's not forget that the road you're talking about, and I would say probably 75% of traffic that doesn't want to be in Letterkenny but has to go through Letterkenny goes out down the Remelton Road. They're talking about, and the plan is to reduce the road outside of the Mount Errigal Hotel to two lanes. So,
yeah,
you know, rather than talking of initiatives that you talk of, we're actually seem to be doing things that the man on the street and the woman on the street believes to be actually counterintuitive.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. And I have been on to the council in relation to, and I spoke to you not long back in relation to the active travel plans around Letterkenny, where they were increasing pedestrianisation areas and cycle areas, reducing road space. I know from my own experience up here at College Farm Road, College Road, the issues with traffic has really come to the fore in this last while, you know, where we have seen the numbers increasing at school attendance and schools in this area, you know, increasing minibuses and buses in general, traffic flows, and we're talking about reducing road space and increasing pedestrianisation space. But we're living on, you know, Letterkenny is built on a hill. You know, and I can't imagine too many people cycling up the back road on an active part of the space, trying to go up the back road or up by Windy Hall to Killylaston areas or anywhere else for that matter. The issue here is relief roads that were needed for Letterkenny are still in the planning stage, and they need to be. We need them now. We don't need them in 10 years' time. We need them now because, you know, at the end of the day, the traffic congestion and people get frustrated when it's time after time we have gridlock in and around Letterkenny, and you know it doesn't hang for the environment or anywhere else for that, but it gives huge frustration to people who are trying to get through the town, maybe to access somewhere else. And also on top of that, if they reduce the road space as they have done between the Polestar roundabout and out by the Clanree there, the difficulty is, like yesterday, when you have emergency vehicles trying to get from A to B, and they're stuck in traffic as well. Somebody's life could be on the line here. Mm-hmm. And yet, the response from the council, or even from our state agencies, is near to zero.
And I know we talk about the four lanes a lot, but I actually was stuck in front of an ambulance trying to get through from the Remalton Road, and it's equally congested. And as I say, they're looking to narrow that road further. The problem here is, Christy, we're going round in circles. The solution here is the Bonaghy Link, isn't it? Isn't the Bonaghy Link, the bridge?
Absolutely,
because, what we're doing is we're designing roads, the road, this is my take on it. The roads are being planned for when we have that link. So actually, until such time as we get that link, I think we're making traffic worse. But once that link is there, everything will begin to make sense. But we can't. How long is that going to be? 10 years, 15 years? You know, I get the active travel and all, but three quarters of the traffic needs to be taken out of Letterkenny, and that only happens when we get the link. So what do we do in the interim?
And what there is a problem is, you know, we've seen in other areas, in other parts, both in Northern Ireland and down the country, a park and ride for people who want to come into town, they want to park up and they want to get around and access the town easier. All of those things are very, you know, are part of, you know, improving traffic congestion. But there's no plan in place. And I don't hear anybody from the council coming on saying, look, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to improve things in life, like, for people
been,
in general.
I do have to rush it on, but you've been really critical of the council. You said that when the council won the best council award in Ireland, you thought it was a joke.
Well, I thought it was a joke originally. I thought I was having a look to see if it was the 1st of April. But I mean, really, I know from my own personal, I have written to the council on numerous occasions, traffic and TII. I have written to the Department of Transport. I've written to everybody in relation, on behalf of other people, in relation to the traffic systems, not just up around my own area, but also around the town as well. And I don't see anything being done. All I get back is an acknowledgement, or we can't do this, we don't have the budget for that. But yet they had a budget to, as they thought they were doing, from the Polestar roundabout out to Clanree to improve traffic flow. It didn't improve traffic flow. They increased the number of traffic lights in the Polestar roundabout that didn't need traffic lights.
The purpose was to make the traffic flow more fair. They said from the get-go, this wasn't about getting you from A to B quicker on certain routes. This was about making sure that you could get to A to B on all routes.
But it hasn't improved the traffic flow.
Okay.
I mean, yesterday was a prime example.
Okay.
You know, yesterday was a prime example. There was nothing in place. There was no plan in place where something, a system like the traffic lights or something, or electrical system or electrical fault, where there was a failure. There was no backup system in place. Mm-hmm. And there was nothing or no one to suggest how you could improve on that, or what measures were in place to alleviate the traffic flow problems in and around the town.
All right, and that's the critical point that you began with, and we'll conclude with that, is there is no traffic management plan when one is needed, be it the guards, yes, or the council. I don't think it's up to the guards to deal with bad planning, personally speaking. But anyway,
but I think there needs to be a multi-agency approach, Greg. No matter what, there should be some backup plan. If the council don't have a backup plan, then there should be a multi-agency approach to something like that. That, you know, that they, you know, heretofore, if there was a problem in roundabouts, you'd have the Gardaí or even the traffic corps available to help to alleviate traffic. Might not always work, but they were there anyway to try to help alleviate traffic and see where the problems lay. But you need a multi-agency approach, and there's something that's very, very lacking in between Donegal County Council and other state agencies.
Christy Galligan, thank you.